everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. This is Henrik from Red Eyes Radio. Good to have you with us. Hope you're doing well today. You can follow us on redeyescreations.com and redeyesmembers.com. Mark Gray has a degree in chemistry, nutrition, and chiropractic. He's currently studying for a master's degree in traditional Chinese medicine. He has been looking at patterns and synchronicities in symbols, myth, and numbers for almost 20 years. Some of his favorite research was in the U.S. Capitol, which resulted in a book co-authored with investigative mythologist William Henry called Freedom's Gate, The Lost Symbols in the U.S. Capitol. On his website, cosmicdoorways.net, and on his Facebook page, he has collected a lot of his research for people to dive further into. We are going to talk about the missing Malaysian MH370 plane today. Well, we're going to go through a timeline, rather, that connects the symbols surrounding this event, being that of Neptune, the trident, the symbolism of horses, things that echoes in popular media, if you will, movies as well, and signals that lead us up to the disappearing plane. Mark uses gematria to draw numbers from words and names in order to find signs and clues about the events that occur in the major news media, but also events where a lot of people tune into, you know, like opening ceremonies, concert, major sports events, etc., and also so-called terrorist events, or i.e. false flags as well. There is a lot of numbers, dates, events, names, and places that we're going to go through and connect during this show, so listen up and stay sharp, otherwise you might lose your place. Here we go. Welcome, Mark. Thank you for coming on with us. Nice to have you on, and nice to talk to you. Hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Henrik.
Yes, indeed. This is just a bizarre story that has so many ins and outs to it, and the media keeps incessantly reporting on it like there's nothing else going on in the world. Nonetheless, beyond that, there are some very, very interesting components to what has happened to the MH370 plane that got lost. There is a trail of conspiracy there, indeed, as people got savvy to pretty quick, but we're going to kind of examine this from a little bit of a different perspective today in terms of the trail of the trident. But tell us a little bit about the background first of the case, when you got savvy to looking into the reporting on the plane and how you kind of pieced together some of the puzzle on this, Mark.
Sure. Obviously, people were talking about the trident and its importance. For me, the trident goes back sometime back to the year 2011, when I was up in New York City, and I had saw that they had erected two twin tridents at the 9/11 memorial and what was eventually going to be the museum. And I thought, well, now there's a powerful symbol. I know I had seen Poseidon and Shiva with the trident and many other gods for that matter. I mean, if we think about it, you know, we got Pluto, Hades, Neptune, Poseidon, and even the Christian devil all carry this three-pronged fork, and there it was at 9/11. But the tridents that they had were actually parts of the structure of the Twin Towers, and they had put these tridents inside the museum, and next to the tridents are a set of escalators that descend into basically an underworld or the basement of the old World Trade Centers. And down there will be the museum. And I wanted to go in, but they said, no, it'll be some time, even a couple of years, until that museum was going to be open. And as I looked at the tridents from the outside looking in, when you have two tridents sitting next to each other, it's three prongs and three prongs. And right away I became extremely interested because it looked like the number 33. I had seen the number 33 before. I was at the U.S. Capitol Dome and had found out that the President of the United States, when he takes the oath of office, he faces the obelisk and then turns around and actually ascends 33 steps into the U.S. Capitol Dome. When he walks inside, he looks up and sees the painting of the apotheosis of George Washington, which is George Washington becoming a god. So I thought, wow, they have this trident with the 33, and 33 is so important because that was the age of Christ, when he was resurrected from the dead. 33 are the number of vertebrae in the human spine, 33 are the degrees in the accepted rites of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. So this 33 became extremely important. As I looked into, I didn't really quite understand everything about the trident at the time, but what I found out is that the trident in astrology is actually the symbol of the mystical planet Neptune. and represents and connects us with Neptune. The trident also symbolizes what they say is the final and conclusive reality in which all polarities exist at the same time without being distinctly discernible from each other. Mm-hmm. So it's this idea of this watery deep, this subconscious mind that the trident evokes. Neptune, the god of waters, also known as Poseidon. Even I saw that the trident also represents nirvana, the mystical perception of godliness and truth and non-attachment. So a very powerful symbol that they erected there. Some people even talk about the trident representing anatomically body functions like the pineal gland or the third eye, where we have these three energy sources, Ida, Pingala, and the Shushumna, running up through us, these three positive, negative, and neutral energy sources that are inside of us. The trident even shows up as the symbol for magnesium in the 16th century chemistry. It comes from this idea of the magnesia, from a Greek word magentin and maginin, and it actually means eventually the word magic. So now we have the idea of the subconscious mind. We have the idea of the watery deep. We have the idea of ancient memories and magic. So very powerful symbol that they chose to put there. The further I looked, I found very interesting that the tridents are surrounded in a lattice work at the 9/11 memorial, this metal and glass lattice work, so that when you descend down into the underworld, or the watery deep, as it were, when you look at the tridents, there's a set of glass panels crisscrossed with metal. It's a actual lattice work, and when you look through that, you will see the new One World Trade Center in the background. And it was interesting because when I dug into it, I found that the trident relates itself to the Hebrew letter Shin, and that the Hebrew priests, or Conan, would actually hold their two hands up and, like the Mr. Spock from Star Trek, hold their hands out so they create two tridents. And they said that if they held their hands in such a way that they could see through the Holy of Holies and see the Lord. So I'm thinking, wow, as we descend down this escalator, we look through these 33 tridents, out through the lattice work, and we see the Holy of Holies, the One World Trade Center. Very bizarre.
Very bizarre indeed. Yeah, Mr. Spock, that's interesting, the Vulcan, they based on that. I think there's quite a few videos of him speaking about that now, Leonard Nimoy, that basically everything he did there was like taken from the Jewish kind of traditions, if you will. So that's pretty interesting. Now, explain a little bit to us how this connects with the, I guess you're coming to that, Mark, nonetheless, but the plane itself. How is the trident related to the plane here?
Well, the trident's related to the plane, as many people saw, because on the tail of the plane, the Malaysian Airlines symbol is actually two tridents. Some people talk about that. I even had mentioned that it looked like the numbers 33 again. So it's two tridents on the tail of the plane. But if we go back, we can look and see how this all shows up. Something interesting this year, the Chinese landed a moon rover. And I knew this year was going to be interesting because the moon rover, when they advertised it, they showed a picture of the planet Earth with the moon rover in front of it. And over top of what appears to be Kiev, Ukraine, there's actually some sort of a mushroom cloud coming off of the planet, and maybe an atomic explosion, nuclear explosion. I wondered what the Chinese were getting at, and I thought, this is going to be a year we're going to have to watch what goes on. And might I mention that when you research the god Neptune, that he is also known as the god of horses. He actually created horses, and horses are very dear to him. So when we see the trident, when we see horses, we must think of the god Neptune, which is extremely important because Neptune, horses, and tridents show up so much this year, and it all has to do with the plane. Might I mention that this is the Chinese year of the horse? Now, with that in mind, we got the Grammy Awards here in America, and on January 26th, right before our Super Bowl, one of our stars over here, Katy Perry, sang her number one hit, Dark Horse. And people were all over the internet talking about this was some sort of a satanic ritual. song spoke of magic. It spoke of this dark horse and this perfect storm that was coming our way. And sure enough, she has this giant horse on stage. And the first thing I'm thinking is wow, it's the year of the horse. I can't believe she's got this horse up there. And it is the whole display that she had was kind of dark. I could see where people would say it was satanic, but nonetheless, there it was. Now, that same week, we had a pretty bad omen. If you remember back on January 27th, we had Katy Perry singing about the dark horse, doing the satanic ritual. And then in Rome at the same time, the Pope goes out into the courtyard and he releases these doves. He says this prayer for the Ukraine. He says, I pray for the Ukraine. I pray we have peace in the world. I pray for Russia. He releases the doves. And as the doves are released, they're attacked by crows. So in the ancient times, that's the idea is this idea of augury, where they would watch the birds and see what the birds would do, which direction they would fly, and would predict the future. Well, the birds being attacked was not a good sign. And also at the same time, we were getting headlines that blood of the Pope had actually been stolen and that it was going to be used in a satanic ritual, which was very bizarre. It was headlines, particularly in Italy. So there was this vial of blood that had got taken from Pope John Paul II, and it was kept in a church in Italy. And criminals had broken into the church, stolen this vial, and it was headlines because we were approaching February 2nd, which is the holiday of Imbolc, and satanic rituals were about to occur. And I thought, well, that's really strange because February 2nd is very important to me. Because I remember some years ago when they first put the Super Bowl on February 2nd, Janet Jackson's breast getting exposed by Justin Timberlake, and at the tip of her breast on her nipple was a silver sun. And so it was the Son of God suckling on her nipple on February 2nd, Imbolc, which is actually a pagan holiday going back about the lactation of ewes and this idea that milk needed to be given to the son or the baby so that it could grow up and be strong. So I, with all of this going on with Katy Perry and so forth, I was very interested in what was going to happen at the Super Bowl this year. And in particular, because this year, February 2nd, was on the 33rd day of the year. And also at the Grammys, the 33 showed up because Queen Latifah married 33 gay and straight couples on TV. And also that week, a J.P. Morgan banker jumped to his death in London from the 33rd floor of a skyscraper. Headlines also, President Obama, who maybe is America's dark horse, I don't know, at his State of Union address, the headlines were that 33.3 million Americans tuned in. So here we are at the Super Bowl, and we had, of course, the Denver Broncos, who are the horses, playing against the Seattle Seahawks. And the thing that stuck into my mind was, oh, we have the horses, who we just saw with Katy Perry, and we have the Seahawks, and I happen to think of Pegasus, the winged horse. Crossed my mind at the time. So the Super Bowl goes down, and during halftime, it was really, before halftime, something really important. I don't know if you paid attention, and it becomes very important in this whole thing, is that everybody's waiting for the Super Bowl to start, and one of the great actors, Philip Seymour Hoffman, is found dead. And that sort of takes over right before the Super Bowl, this energy of, oh my God, Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then everybody's talking about, well, Philip, by the way, means lover of horses. So this idea that Philip Seymour Hoffman, this lover of horses, so you get on Wikipedia and you look up Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's born on July 23rd. Well, July 23rd is interesting because that date, July 23rd, we're going to see is going to come up a lot because July 23rd is actually the Feast of Neptune, who we're talking about, who wields the trident, who is the maker of horses. This guy, Philip, who we need to pay attention to, Philip means lover of horses. So Philip was born on Neptunalia, July 23rd, and he died on Imbolc, February 2nd. And then we find out that he was actually, and his last name, Hoffman, if you look into it, it means the steward or lover and a carer. And so if you combine that with horses, he was someone who cared for horses. Now, bizarrely, we find out that he dies from heroin. And when we find out that he dies from heroin, it turns out that the street name for heroin is actually horse. So a man who's named after a horse is actually, and born on the holiday of the god of horses, dies from an overdose of horse or heroin. It's a very bizarre set of circumstances. And the number that gets flashed before us over and over and over, which will turn up later and becomes important. And by the way, one of the things we're looking at here is numbers or codes that are hidden within. I use a lot of gematria in my research and try to find the numbers that show up within the headlines or big events, including this plane missing, hoping that someday eventually, once we start to figure out how the codes work, maybe the future could be predicted. That's the ultimate goal.
Now, tell us, I always like to ask when we talk about these kinds of subjects in this particular context of big events in the press where a lot of people are not only involved but also emotionally involved, that this in some way is an interplay. There's something that seems to be going on there. And I always like to ask the people we bring on what drives that kind of methodology. I mean, is there a way you could give us a bigger outline of how this is pieced together and why it's working in the way it is, or is this just still just a huge mystery and you're just trying to find kind of the pieces of the puzzle to get it together? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I know I had read one time and said, talking about the Hebrew gematria, it said, it was talking about the book of creation and the letters of the alphabet. They're described as stones used to build a house. So the alphabet itself, when we say things, has a code to it. So when we say certain words like abracadabra or hocus pocus or Philip Seymour Hoffman, it has a code and a resonance to it. And one of the ways that we can track the code is through gematria. A simple gematria is A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, etc., up to Z equals 26. So if we were to take Philip Seymour Hoffman, which we will eventually do because it becomes extremely important, because he actually sets the pace for all of this, and we were to break down his name, we'll eventually see what happens with his name and how it relates to everything that's going on. But at this point, let's just say that Philip Hoffman equals, when I type it into a gematria code identifier, Philip Hoffman equals 133. So 133 is important. We were just talking about the 33s, right? So anytime I see 33s, I know it's a very important number. So Philip Hoffman is a 133. He was just in and playing parts in one of the movies that didn't come out yet. The parts is The Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
And he actually plays the game master in The Hunger Games, and he plays this part called Plutarch Heavensby. Well, I typed that in. That comes out as 1333. And then I thought, wow, that's a lot of threes, particularly at this right before the Super Bowl, because the Seahawks record was 13-1, and the Denver's record was 13-1, and then the news comes out and says that Philip Seymour was found dead at 11:30, which is 113. So I thought to myself, wow, so the game master, whose number is 133, dies in New York on February 2nd, the 33rd day of the year, the big day of the big game, and he's the game master. And I thought, wow, this is really bizarre, because the dark horse that we were talking about, that we were singing about, is actually the dark horse of famine, and eventually he actually plays in the Hunger Games. So I thought that was really strange, particularly that February 2nd is the 33rd day of the year, and there's actually in leap years 333 days left. So there's this numerical code that's there that's very bizarre, and it was announced right then and there that all of a sudden we found another dead banker, and his name was William Brokschmidt. He was a Deutsche banker. He's found hanged in London, and I typed his name in, and his name was 191. So if, like, my name, when I type it in 609, type your name in or anybody's name in, it's not common to come up with the numbers that I'm talking about. Some people want to tell me, oh, you type in any number, you're going to get that number. I'm like, no, you don't. When you follow a certain news event, you have to find it. You have to dig for it, and you find within the news events, you start to find certain numbers, and that's what happens with this plane crash. For example, the stadium that the Super Bowl was played at was the Meadowlands Stadium. Type in Meadowlands Stadium, you find out that it equals 666. To get a 666 is not common at all, but it happened in this case, especially with the Super Bowl. So I thought it was very bizarre. I was paying attention to that. We've got a man whose name is Philip who dies. Just before that, we're singing about the dark horse. He dies with 49 bags of heroin. He had an ace of spades thrown on him and an ace of hearts, two cards. It just seemed like something was going on, some type of a ritual.
Right.
And if you look at some of the things that are going on, 49 is important to me because 0 is in a placeholder, so you could extend it out to 409. Now, for example, here's an example of 409. 409 is very important because on our $100 bill in America, if you flip it over and look at Independence Hall, the clock is set at 409. If you go to the website for the Library of Congress, they'll show you a giant clock that's in the reading room, and it has the god Saturn, comets, and a zodiac. The clock is set at 409. I watched the Nelson Mandela funeral. They put his coffin on a plane, on the side of the plane, 409. Go back to the Boston Marathon bombing. The bombing, the first bomb, if you take a look at the picture online, when the bomb goes off at the finish line, people are crossing the finish line at 409. I looked up 409 to see what 409 meant, and 409 is a computer error code. It means conflict. So now I figured out that whenever I see 409s in the headlines, 409s used as times or 409s used as names, I know what we're talking. They're using a code that means conflict.
You're talking about the HTTP status codes when you're online, basically, and if a website doesn't respond properly, you get error codes as a return. That's what you're talking about, correct?
That's exactly right. And I didn't know anything about that. Obviously, you know right what I'm talking about. So I didn't know that. So one of the things that we'll find is when we're in the 400s, when we're looking at numbers, you can use those numbers to go back to these HTTP codes, and it will relate what's going on. So 409 is actually conflict. It's very important. And if you get rid of the 0, it's 49, and we'll find 409 and 49 show up. And in the headlines again, Philip Seymour Hoffman dies of heroin overdose, also known as horse. He's found with 49 bags of heroin all around him. And then, of course, his lover, who turns out to be a man, comes in, and he's there, and he's being interviewed. His name is David Barkatz. I type his name in, and it's a 119. Now, whenever I get two ones and a nine, or nines and ones, I call that the 911 code. So the 911 code will show up over and over in these major events. So the Super Bowl halftime show shows up, and Bruno Mars sings. Now, I type in, and I bring in Skyview on Google, and bizarrely enough, right overhead, at the exact time that Bruno Mars is singing, is the planet Mars, exactly overhead. And I'm thinking, my goodness, Mars is the god of war. So what is going on here that Bruno Mars is down on the field singing, and up above, over Bruno Mars, is the planet Mars, and it's sitting in the constellation of the serpent, right at the time he's singing at the exact time. Very bizarre, very strange, and right before Bruno Mars comes on, the signs are flashing behind him in fire, and it says, prepare, prepare, prepare. And I'm thinking, wow, prepare for what? What are they talking about that we got God, the God of war overhead, and they're telling us to prepare as Bruno Mars sings. They break to a commercial. Now, oddly enough, you got to remember that whole week bankers were jumping from rooftops all over the place. There's a commercial on the Super Bowl break right after that of a man jumping out of a window. I don't remember. I took a picture of it. It's on my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumps this recently from a 33rd floor office window off of the John Pierpont Morgan or J.P. Morgan out of a rooftop and killed himself with many other up to, I think, were 12 or 13 bankers. If you type in John Pierpont Morgan, you get 1310. So these, if you notice, these numbers will keep showing up over and over right into the plane. The big thing was that set everybody off and started the whole trident symbolism was Maserati showed its first commercial in America, apparently. They want to start opening towards a market outside of Europe. And this nicely done commercial comes on, and it's this whole talk. It says, the world is full of giants. They have always been here lumbering in the schoolyards, limping through the alleys. We had to learn how to deal with them, how to overcome them. We were small but fast, remember? We were like a wind appearing out of nowhere. We knew that being clever was more important than being the biggest kid in the neighborhood. As long as we keep our heads down, as long as we work hard, trust, what we feel in our guts and in our hearts. And then here's the key. It says, then when we're ready, we wait until they get sleepy. Wait until they get so big they can barely move. Then we walk out of the shadows, quietly walk out of the dark, and strike. And then this symbol of the trident appears. And people made a big deal about that because they came back to the Bruno Mars and the red lights flashing, prepare, prepare, prepare. And everybody's looking for symbolism, and it's the idea of this trident, that there's going to be a strike, and that we need to prepare. So the question is prepare about what? So I started looking into the security at the Super Bowl, seeing who did it, and bizarrely enough, the Super Bowl had security handled by a group called the Neptune Intelligence Computer Engineering Service. And I'm thinking, what are the odds that the Neptune Intelligence Computer Engineering Incorporated would handle that? So here's this Maserati commercial, and it was for their car called the Ghibli. And I typed in Maserati Ghibli, and it comes up 133. The same number as Philip Hoffman, who died a few hours before. So Philip Hoffman's a 133. Maserati Ghibli's a 133. There's our 33. I say, we are on to something here. Something's going on. The Super Bowl ends. The final score between the two teams was 43-8. So I thought, what are the odds? I type in 43-8. Of course, 438 is the number Illuminati. So Illuminati, if you type it in Gematria code, will give you 438, which is 43-8, the final score. How that works, I don't know. 438 also equals Hiram Abiff, the originator of Freemasonry. Now, that the Super Bowl went away. I didn't know what to expect, what was going to go on. And then suddenly, the Olympics are upon us the next week, and the U.S. is throwing out that there's threats on airlines. I don't know if people remember this, but on February 5th, a few days after the Super Bowl, long before the Olympics, the Department of Homeland Security warned all of us in America and around the world that there is an actual threat that they know about. The U.S. warns airlines about toothpaste tube bombs. Remember anything about that?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yes, toothpaste bombs. Yeah. But then I think to myself, toothpaste, tooth, the word trident means three-toothed.
Right.
Dent, three teeth. Now we have the symbol of the trident, trident, three tooth, and now we're being threatened with toothpaste or dent paste, toothpaste bombs. So now we've got ourselves a link, and I think, what the heck's going to happen in Sochi, which, by the way, I was questioning that all along. I'm sure everybody else was. Why is Russia holding an event like that in a pretty dangerous area? So for kicks, I thought, well, I saw pictures of Vladimir Putin. I typed his name in, Putin, and he comes up. Putin is 409. There's our 409. And if we remember back about 409, why it was so important, 409 means computer conflict. It's a conflict.
Yeah.
It's 409s on the back of the $100 bill in America.
Now, and let me just ask you this quickly. There's obviously a number of Gematria kind of calculators online, and there are, I think usually they spit out three different ones. One is the Jewish Gematria, one is the English, and one is the what's known as the simple. But you're picking the Jewish one. What, is there a specific reason for that as well, Mark?
No, I use all three.
You do all three, okay.
I use all three, and it doesn't matter to me which ones the numbers come up in. The numbers are numbers. They're different codes, but they're all pointing to the numbers. If they've been around as long as they have, there must be some sort of magic or importance or credibility to them.
Yeah.
So I just go with it. So, you know, Putin and Jewish Gematria, I won't say which Gematria it is each time, but Putin is 409. And again, I stepped back and I'm like, wow, how does Putin end up being a 409? Because I'm thinking when powerful events happen, we expect powerful codes. Again, like I said, the Boston Marathon went off at 409. Here's a strange one with 409. If you type in the colors of the energy centers in the body, red, if you just spell out red, like red equals 27, orange equals 60, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, the chakras, when you add them up, it equals 409. Now that I can't figure out, because what's the conflict there unless there's a polar opposite to every number, which in Gematria, if we look, you look at the number, there's a lot of negativity there, and if you look at the number, there's a lot of good there. So maybe there's good words that they're like good spells and bad spells. Somebody says abracadabra, somebody else says hocus pocus and undoes the spell. So I think that the numbers can be used for good or evil. And maybe it's not up to us to decide which one it is, but just point it out at this point.
Right. Yeah. It's a value judgment that we make after the fact. And of course, it's very interesting to see how this is pieced together. Now, do you think that there is any measure along the way here where this is directed by humans, shall we say, in this regard, that they want to attempt to try to direct this into a certain direction, or is this very much kind of from our perspective above our heads and kind of at random, but it's still something that has perhaps it has an intelligence guiding it above our understanding, but nonetheless not something we can pinpoint at this time. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we all know about great mathematical codes like phi, pi, psi, all these different numbers that are encoded right within nature all around us. And I mean, George Washington and the forefathers of America, a lot of people talk about them as Christians, but more importantly, they were deists. So the idea that they had was that if man can balance himself or become one with nature, he will see God and be one with God. So nature holds the codes. The numbers are already written there. Now, what I think happens is some people who are educated to the numbers or understand the numbers, maybe it was ancient civilizations like the Egyptians or the Chinese or the Hindu religions, whoever it was, it appears that the ancient cultures tended to use these numbers in the buildings, in their religions, in their everyday life. But it was usually the people who tended to be in the priestly classes or the royalty. It wasn't the common folks walking around. It didn't seem to be. So maybe the same thing's going on now, where the powers to be understand these numbers or educated on these numbers somehow. Maybe it's handed down family to family. Maybe it's secret societies. But for the most part, the people I meet at a local store or family members, they don't know about these numbers. They don't care about these numbers or pay attention to them.
Yeah.
So two places, nature already has them, and then people who know about them or care about them understand their importance and then use them.
Yeah, exactly. That's always my take. Sorry to interrupt, Mark. Please remember where you were there, but it's always this idea that it has to be either or, which is not the case either. I think that there's potentially an opportunity that if you understand the mechanism of whatever reason why this is working, if you can kind of latch onto that and kind of surf that wave of opportunity, if you will, you can get some pretty interesting stuff done in the process. And again, it doesn't mean good or bad at the outset of it. It's a hindsight value judgment. But nonetheless, I think there's also a lot of people that are taking that opportunity to do pretty, pretty nasty things in its name, like we'll probably get to later in terms of the patents and what might have happened to the plane and the way that was taken down. But pick up where you were, Mark. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, it's all good, please. And so here we are, we're at the Olympics, and I guess NBC was covering it, and they pan in over the from outer space and down over the Black Sea, and one of the things they pass is a giant statue of the god Neptune holding a trident, protecting Sochi, overlooking the Black Sea, protecting the people of Sochi in the Olympics, and I thought, my goodness, look at that statue and that trident. I couldn't even barely stand it that I saw this, the god Neptune and his trident guarding the Olympics. So I thought, let me just see what the numbers are here. And I typed in Sochi Olympics and I got part of the 911 code. Sochi Olympics is 166. Now the thing I want you to understand is what I found is this. If you wrote 911 and you flipped it upside down, it would still give you 611. Ones and sixes are able to mirror each other and flip each other. I call that the 911 code. So what it is I find numbers that if they're loaded with ones and sixes only, sixes and ones and sixes, it could be 169, 119, 911, whatever it is, I call that part of the 911 code. So for example, if you looked at Sochi Olympics, it's 166. If you typed in Twin Towers, you would get 166. If you typed in the word September 11, you get 166. One World Order is 166. So now what that tells me is I'm on the trail of something. Sochi Olympics is a 166. It's got the 9/11 code. It's got the god Neptune guarding the whole place. Very important. And The week before, Philip Hoffman, whose birthday is on the Neptunalia. His name, Philip, means horse. He died from horse overdose. It's a week later, and here the god, who his name represents, shows up. I happened to type in Sochi, USSR, and got 131. I thought, there's more confirmation. Now, same time the Olympics are starting, something amazing happens. A jet airliner gets hijacked the day the Olympics are starting, February 7th. And the headlines say that 110 passengers are on board. I'm thinking they were just telling us about the toothpaste bombs. Sure enough, the day of the Olympics, the plane's getting hijacked. And of all things, the name of the airlines? Pegasus Airlines.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, Pegasus, here's another horse with 110 passengers. Now, 110 stands out to me because the day before the hijacking, I made a post on Facebook and said, we need to be on the lookout for the number 110. And the reason we need to be on the lookout for 110 is because the Olympics aren't really in Sochi. They're in a small town called Adler. And when I had to did the geometry on Adler, it was 110. And 110 is an extremely important number. The reason is because each World Trade Center was 110 stories tall. If you do the geometry on Osama bin Laden, it's 110. Adolf Hitler, 110. Apollyon, the god of the deep, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, 110. So 110 is extremely powerful. So the fact that the Olympics are being held in a town that's named Adler that equals 110, I made a post. I said, be on the lookout for 110. Within 24 hours, there's a Pegasus airline being hijacked with 110 passengers on board. And it was absolutely bizarre. So now we have ourselves another horse. We have ourselves the code continuing to follow. And now Pegasus, the week before we had the Seahawks and the horse in the stadium in the United States, now we have a hijacked plane combining the two of them, the winged horse. So the Super Bowl itself starts, and if you remember the opening ceremony, the first thing we see are these islands floating in the sky with a giant volcano, an eclipsed moon, and on one of the islands is a white horse. The lone white horse floating across the stage at Sochi. Then the announcer comes on, and the announcer, his name is Apollo, Apollo Ono. So I typed his name as Apollo Ono. I think he was a speed skater at one point. His name in geometry is 666. And I thought, here we go, as he makes the announcement, do you remember across the ceiling, across the sky, three white horses pulling a giant red ring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now what we have is three more horses, and we're always connecting them back to the god Neptune. He's the god of horses. We're in search of the trident that will eventually show up on the plane.
So you're kind of like building the different components, the properties of this deity, basically.
Building the different properties of the deity, and just as important, exactly what you just said another way, putting those symbols and signs and numbers in the minds of the people.
Right.
So that me and you and the millions and millions and millions who are watching these events are seeing something important over and over. Horses and tridents and the god Neptune or Poseidon over and over in our vision.
How do you think that operates, or how do you think that works in favor as well? I've always thought about that. I think it's a pretty interesting one that you can potentially kind of build your scenario to a better extent, a better degree, if it is something that has been subconsciously been supplanted, if you will, in a lot of people's minds, so that they are, I don't know, kind of constantly enforcing this to a certain extent. I've always thought it as kind of building reality, or like creating the picture that you want, but you do it with, and in that regard, that's why it's, you know, so many people focus on it as a ritual, because it shows that it's about creating something, you know, pulling something out of the void and creating it in the real world, creating something out of nothing kind of thing. What's your take on that?
I agree. There's a saying that I read some years ago that's always in my mind. Thought is the seed of action, which will eventually create your reality. So as we all know now that with quantum physics, that everything we see around us is a result of our minds thinking it into existence. So we are actually a creator, just like we're children of God. And in the Bible, you know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said something to happen, and it happened. So when we speak, we have authority. When we think something, we have authority, and it manifests before us. So what's more powerful than if I could put my thoughts and what I want to manifest in your mind and their mind and their mind and their mind. So all of a sudden, it's not your individual thoughts, but they're my thoughts. And because you are each individual creators, because I put my thoughts in your mind, you are now creating what I want. It's the whole idea of what they call the TV or television. We don't have our own vision like every great religion in the world tells us. We are now being told the vision. Tell a vision.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're watching the television, and we're seeing these white horses. We're seeing the god Apollo. We're having the announcer whose name is written across the screen, Apollo Ono. And here's the funny thing. As Apollo Ono, whose name in gematria is 666, is watching this come across the stage, it's three horses pulling a red solar disk or the sun, and that's absolutely the god Apollo himself. So we have the announcer whose name's Apollo. We have the god Apollo getting pulled. It's extremely powerful. And the god Apollo is important because it had showed up over and over in the book of Revelation 9:11. In the book of Revelation 9:11, it said, they had as a king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, or in Greek, Apollyon, or Apollo, the destroyer. So now the subconscious mind goes back to the book of Revelation 9:11. At the same time, the next day, the news announces its headlines that out of the watery deep, a statue of the god Apollo was actually found a year ago. They never announced it, but now it's on every single headline that you can come across, that this ancient artifact. And I thought to myself, this is absolute magic, because magic is a fisherman pulls a statue of the sun god Apollo from the waters near Egypt, and it makes headlines at the same time that the Russians are invoking the god Apollo at the Sochi Olympic opening ceremony. Do you remember that statue being pulled up at all?
Yeah, I briefly recall it. I'm actually just kind of searching around a little bit as you speak about it to find it. But yeah, I do.
Yeah, so there it is. Now, the next thing that comes across the stage is a giant blue orb. It's a planet, and it's floating in a solar system. If you go back to the Sochi Olympics, the blue planet, or the watery planet, is the planet Neptune. Now they actually bring across the Sochi Olympic Stadium the planet Neptune, and the whole stadium turns into a solar system, and all of our minds and all of our hearts and all of our vision is turned towards this planet Neptune. At the same time, in Britain, they're getting ravaged with a storm with record waves, 75 feet tall. And I'm thinking, wow, Britain's getting slammed with the biggest waves they've ever been hit with on record, 75-foot waves on the coast, destroying the coast, as over in Sochi, here we are. So one of the things I thought was, well, we definitely got Neptune on the brain. He's protecting the coast of Sochi. He's now made it into the Olympic Stadium itself. And I look at the dates of the Olympics. The Olympics are from February 7th to February 23rd. It's a code. The 7th to the 23rd. 7/23 is July 23rd. That is the date that we worship the god Neptune at the Neptunalia. That is also Philip Seymour Hoffman's birthday. So the actual dates of the starting date and the end date, the 7th of February and the 23rd is 7/23. That's actually the Neptunalia. And I type in Neptunalia and Gematria, and it comes up 113, another part of the code. Next, what do they show us? They show us on stage, they have a computer. Do you remember at the Olympics, they show us the computer background on the floor, and on the computer background on the floor is the god Laocoon. And there he is. I recognize him. It's the one where Laocoon is surrounded by serpents. They had dug the statue up 500 years ago in Rome, and I guess it's somewhere in Rome, this statue. And these serpents are strangling him, pulling him down. And the idea of that, I recognized the statue right away. I'm like, why are they showing us that? And I actually didn't know everything I needed to know about this guy. Laocoon was actually a priest of Neptune. So here's this priest of Neptune that they're now showing us, and he manifests to the world during the Sochi Olympic ceremonies. And here's the thing. I got on Wiki and I looked up about Laocoon. He was the guy who warned the Trojans against the wooden horse. So it was Laocoon that went to the Trojans and said, they're going to bring me a gift. Do not trust the horse, is Laocoon's main message. Over and over and over, they ended up killing him because they were warning him. While the Trojans didn't listen, they bring in the horse, and we know how the story goes after that. So this becomes extremely important because not only do they bring across the planet Neptune, but now what they do is they flash on the floor of the whole Olympic Stadium for all of us to see, if you know what it is the priest of Neptune, Laocoon, whose main message in all of history is, do not trust the horse. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts is his main message.
Right.
So up to this point, we have Katy Perry with the dark horse. We have Philip Hoffman with the dark horse. We have the Chinese New Year 2014 with the horse. The Denver Broncos at the Super Bowl. We have Apollo, the sun god, coming out with three white horses. We have the lone horse at the volcano at the opening. And then what happens? The ceremonies end, and the final medals are tallied. Russia won the most medals. They won 13 golds, a very auspicious number, 9 bronzes, and 11 silvers. 13, 9, 11, for a total of 33 medals. There's our numbers over and over.
Right.
We've got 13 golds, 9 bronze, 11 silvers, total 33. Russia wins the overall for the Olympics. And is symbolically coding us. They break to during the Super Olympics. They broke to a commercial for a movie that was coming out. I don't know if they showed this in Europe. Probably not. But it said, the commercial said, on March 7th, get ready for the surprise of the century. Now at the time I thought, wow, wonder what is going to happen on March 7th. That's the surprise of the century. Well, eventually we learned that that was the date in America when the plane was hijacked. When look, hindsight's 20/20 on some of this.
Right.
But I remember, you know, on March 7th, get ready for the surprise of the century, and they show this movie. It was the dog, Mr. Peabody, and I forget the dog's name, but they actually had a time machine and a time portal, and they're bleeping in and out of different dimensions. I believe this to be extremely important because later on March 7th, the actual date that they were warning us about, a complete plane disappeared. It's one of the greatest magic tricks that you'd ever want to see in your lifetime. One other thing of extreme importance during the Olympics, on the computer floor, as they approached, they flew over the planet Earth, they showed Malaysia, they showed India, and they showed a gigantic storm brewing over the Middle East, over Iran, over Pakistan. I have pictures of it on my Facebook if you want to see it. It's a giant storm brewing. It's a computer. And I thought, that looks like a big hurricane. Why? A hurricane shouldn't be over Iran. It just wouldn't be there over Pakistan, but they've got it there. And that's going to become important later. And during the closing ceremonies, one of the important things that's going to set the precedent too with our numbers for what happens with this missing plane, the Russians, during the closing ceremony, show us a grandfather's clock. They zoom in on the grandfather's clock, and the grandfather's clock is set for the time, 8:13, 8:13. And I thought, why 8:13? That's amazing. Okay, so we're going with the 8:13. I recognized that time because I had used it in another presentation. 8:13, if you remember the movie Peter Pan, 8:13 is the time that Big Ben is set on. When Peter Pan lands on the hand of Big Ben, it's reading 8:13. So I looked up the number 8:13 to see what it really was, and I found out that that was actually the date, August 13th, when the Berlin Wall started. The Berlin Wall started on August 13th, 8:13, and it was the division of it's the beginning of the Cold War. And I thought, that's bizarre. They showed us the 8:13, the same time as the beginning of the Cold War. And as we're speaking, as we're watching the Olympics, one of the big things that's happening is the Ukraine. The Ukraine is breaking apart. The Ukraine is dividing in half. I look up the Ukraine, and of course we all know now, the symbol of the state coat of arms of the Ukraine is a trident.
Yeah.
So they led us right to the Ukraine at this point.
Huh. Wow. Well, that's pretty interesting. There's some interesting connections here. Now, there's much more, of course, to this as well, Mark. We're just kind of getting started here, really. I've been going through some of the posts on your Facebook, and it's just an extraordinary amount of different components that you kind of have brought together into it. Why don't we do like this? We can take a short break here at this point, and then we can pick it up in the second segment here in the member section. Why don't we talk a little bit more about your website, where people can go find your work? You, of course, have a very active Facebook page. I guess that's where you do the majority of your updates now. But give us all the details.
The website is cosmicdoorways.net. Interestingly enough, I had opened the website and co-authored a book with William Henry, who's an investigative mythologist, called Freedom's Gate, The Lost Symbols in the U.S. Capitol, back in 2009. And I opened a website so that people had a place to go to look at some things. And as I opened the website, as I started it, Facebook took off. And I hopped off of the website, which is still there, has a lot of information on it. And now, yes, I use Facebook as my medium because as I post things, people can interact and talk and add. And by the way, I want to add in that so many people from around the world, great researchers, average researchers who do it for fun, and people who are just lay people who have great ideas, comment and talk. Facebook has been such a great place for all of us to interact. And, you know, a lot of my ideas and thoughts now are led or ideas and great information given to me by other people, not just myself. So I just want to say that.
Definitely very good. And the Facebook page, you can, of course, just we'll have that linked up too, but you can search for Mark Gray with an A there, or just mark.gray.129 to find the URL for that. But we'll have that up as well. And check out the book as well, William Henry's book. We'll have that linked up there, who's co-authored, of course, with Mark Gray as well. All right, well, we'll take a short break here, Mark. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more. In the second hour, Mark picks up the timeline, and we get into the missing plane MH370 that occurred on March 7th, and the signs and symbols surrounding this. We discuss the echoes of 9/11. We talk about the Freescale Semiconductor's connection with the Blackstone, via Jacob Rothschild, and the possible outing, shall we say, of the patent holders. A very interesting connection there. Mark talks about all the events and bombings taking place on July 2nd in the last, 100, 200 years, suggesting that the signature of a false flag or controlled instigated event surrounds this particular date. He relates it to TV shows like Lost and connects it to some other movies as well. The number of passengers on the plane, 239. We speculate what happened to them and talk about some hints of who might have hijacked the plane, if this is what happened to it, and what they plan to potentially do with it later. RedEyesMembers.com is the website. Please sign up for a membership to continue to listen to the second hour. We have tons in the archives for you on a lot of different topics. More shows coming up in just a few days. We have Johnny Enoch on Radio 314. We have Return John B. Wells. We're also going to talk with Vincent Freeman on Morgellons. Much more coming up. All right, we'll break right here. We'll be right back in a second. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with us. RedEyesMembers.com, that's the website.